Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that allows me to be here on Wednesday afternoons and for the rest of us to be here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. here live on 800 a.m. WTMR. It's also a good time to use the WTMR radio app on your smartphone or tablet. As it gets dark earlier and earlier, the signal may get a little lower, and always comes through loud and clear on that WTMR radio app. We're also on Facebook Live if you want to get a peek at what I look like. You can see all of our broadcasters here live on Facebook by going to the In His Sign Catholic Radio page and actually watch us. So, that being said, just a couple of notes before we get started here. In addition to doing the radio shows, I'm also the executive director of Our House Ministries, founded by Father McKay, and I serve on the board of the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. So, always willing to talk to just about anybody that's interested in or needs information or help when it comes to addiction. I'd ask you to consider subscribing to my Substack account. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. I post articles with the highlights of the radio shows along with links to the recordings, which you can always find on the In His Sign website, inhissign.com. And I'll post a few other articles from time to time. And hope to do a couple of articles as we lead up to Christmas here. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with daily Mass at 8:30 and open until about 3 o'clock. On Thursdays, pray a rosary at 3 o'clock before we close the shrine. And just a programming note that for me, this will be the last day in 2025, next Wednesday. The 24th will be Christmas Eve, and the following Wednesday, New Year's Eve. So I've been given a couple of vacation days by Kathleen and won't be doing live shows. But we'll be back on Wednesday, January the 7th, I believe, is the first Wednesday in January. We'll be back in 2026 and looking forward to it. So in the meantime, let's get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us and all the saints and angels. Pray for us. May the divine assistance remain always with us, and may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. I'm going to be here solo for a couple of hours today. In the first hour, we'll be talking about steps 6 and 7 as I continue a discussion of the 12-step program. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the final preparations for Christmas. And today is a special day in the liturgical calendar, and we'll talk about that again in the 5 o'clock hour. At any point, if you want to call in and join in the conversation, the numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or you can reach us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Before I do get into steps 6 and 7 today, I want to talk a little bit about Matt Talbot. We've been praying for the last 12 years, I think, when Father McKay and I started doing this show for his canonization. And it would seem we're no closer today than we were 12 years ago. And we sometimes smile when we talk about it, because we think that Matt Talbot's been as humble in death as he was in life, and for whatever reason, not able to get the miracles. I bring it up because Monday night I was blessed to be in New York City with Bill Rose, who was the director, editor, and producer of Matt Talbot, Urban Mystic, along with Dan Tarrant, who directed all the cinematography and did a lot of consulting with Bill on making the film. And we had a smaller than expected crowd in New York. Sometimes you think you're going to the Big Apple and, you know, it might be standing room only. We had quite a few tickets that were taken, but apparently people had other things to do or just didn't make it. So in that regard, it was disappointing, but there were a couple of people that were there that really made the night. Some one gentleman that traveled from Jersey City to be there, new to recovery and wanting to learn about Matt Talbot. A couple other people who attend other events at the Sheen Center and saw this one come up and thought it would be interesting. And we had a nice panel discussion and what have you afterwards. But I bring that up because canonization for Matt Talbot, I think, has really gotten jump-started with the centenary of Matt Talbot's passing back in June. So that was 6 months ago. And then the making of this film. And, you know, word is starting to spread a little bit. And I've been happily surprised with some of the impact that the film's had. I think when we were making it, the goal was to show the life of Matt Talbot and along with the lives of some of us that are in recovery and the role that God's played in our recovery and the relationship that we have with God today as a result of everything that we've gone through in life. And we've been, or at least I've been, pleasantly surprised by the number of people who don't struggle with an addiction they can put their finger on. A lot, you know, most people out there, I think, struggle with some form of addiction, unless you're have a great prayer life already and a great relationship with God. Chances are there are things that distract you from Him. And those of us that had an addiction that you could put your finger on, like alcohol or drugs or gambling or pornography or whatever it may be, that actually drove you to God because that was the only way you were going to survive. You just may not have had to go through what the actual addict went through, but I say it in the film that if you're not addicted to God, you're addicted to something that takes you away from God, and that can be just about anything: TV, shopping, food. There is an Overeaters Anonymous that's out there if that's something that you struggle with, but whatever it is that keeps you from praying or having that relationship with God, I think can be considered an addiction. And what I've heard from a number of people now that don't struggle with an actual addiction is that they've been helped by the film because it's helped them to understand the person or persons in their life that do struggle with an addiction. One woman who's actually in the film, one of the actors, had a mother that struggled with alcoholism, and the daughter had resentments. And in a lot of cases, it's understandable. If you have a mother or father, a son or daughter that struggles with addiction, it's real easy to get a resentment against them because of the things they do or the things that they don't do. And so anyway, the woman that played a role in the film had a mother that struggled with alcoholism and had some of those resentments. And as a result of being in and then seeing the film, came to realize that her mother was not a bad person, that she was an addict, and that everything that she did as an active alcoholic may not or certainly wasn't because that's what she wanted to do. And so often, you know, that's the case. I'm yet to meet an evil person. I've met a lot of good people that have done bad things, but I'm yet to meet somebody that has really set out to destroy their family or to destroy their kids or to do things that would cause these resentments. It's usually a byproduct of, you know, whatever it is that they're addicted to. And so to hear those kind of stories and see that kind of impact that this film can have is continues to, you know, give me hope that this film is one day going to show up in theaters. And we're not all that far away. We've been working with Fathom Events, who, if we get to reach the goals that they've set for people that they work with, that we can probably get the film into 1,000 theaters for 1 to 3 nights. If I'm not mistaken, that's who the Wahlbergs went through with the latest Carlo Acutis film that was in the theaters. And, you know, sometimes you'll see these things pop up where, you know, there's going to be a limited showings and you got to get tickets fairly quickly. And the those films that they've sponsored that have done well in those the 1 to 3 nights that they initially schedule, it's been kept on in some places or even repeated in some places. So I say all that because we're still in need of help for the Matt Talbot film, and I know I'm here on In His Sign Radio, and don't want to take anything at all away from this great radio apostolate. But if you've donated here, thank you. If you've not donated to In His Sign yet in this Christmas season, especially as the end of the year approaches, and you're thinking about doing your end of year giving, maybe you have money that you've had set aside, came into some money that you weren't expecting, and still looking to make those donations, please donate to In His Sign Catholic Radio first and foremost. But this cause that we have now with the Matt Talbot film, if that's something that you're interested in, I'd ask you to visit matttalbotfilm.com and sign up for the updates. And it'll let you know if there's going to be additional local screenings. As of right now, we don't have any scheduled here in the Philadelphia area. We're working on a couple, but nothing definite yet. But the big thing will be if we can get this film into 1,000 theaters at some point in 2026. And we need to raise additional funds in order to make that happen, because they're going to depend on us to do some of the marketing once they're willing to take the project on. But, you know, in 2025, that was probably one of the best things that I was a part of, and being able to see that get rolled out and, again, see the impact that it's already had on a number of people has truly been a real blessing. So if you've already been out to see it or already helped us, by all means, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and hopefully thousands and thousands more will see it in 2026. All right. Since September, with the departure of Father McKay from the 4 o'clock hour here, on the weeks that I don't have a guest, I've been trying to take you through the 12 steps. As I mentioned, the recordings of the shows are always available on inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, now you can go back and find the Saints and Sinners shows that dealt with the first 5 steps if you're so motivated. But today I want to talk about step 6 and step 7. Sometimes they're talked about together. Other times they can be spread apart. There's people that have enough material talk about step six by itself, but I thought for our purposes that we would put them together. Just a quick review of the first five. In the step one, we admitted that we were powerless over whatever it is that we're addicted to and that our lives have become unmanageable. I had mentioned during the show on step one that that's how I got to into a 12-step program. It was kind of like through the back door. I knew I didn't want to admit that I had a problem with alcohol. I wanted, but I couldn't deny that my life was unmanageable. And so that's how I landed in a 12-step program. Step two, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Again, we don't come up with that on our own. It's usually because we've gone to meetings and we trust the other people that are there when they say that it was God that relieved them from their addiction. And so our trust in them tells us that God wants to do the same thing for us. So we come to believe. In the third step, we make a decision that we're going to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. That's a huge leap of faith, especially for people that have struggled with a faith in God. It's real easy to say, you know, if there was a God, I wouldn't end up where I am. I wouldn't be involved in this addiction and what have you. But we're going to, based again on other people's witness to us, we decide that we're going to follow the same path and make a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. And I had made a mistake for quite a while thinking that I had to be able to do that perfectly before I could move on with the rest of the steps, but that the opposite is true. It's after we make that decision, we're going to do steps 4 through 9 in order to build that relationship with God and really confirm that decision that we've made. The last couple shows, when we've talked about the steps, we talked about step 4, which was an inventory where we list out the resentments, the fears, the harms done to others, and the sexual conduct that we had in our lives prior to seeking help. You can do it in a weekend. I know people that have taken a long, long time to do it, probably because, like me, they were procrastinators and would start it and then not finish it or start it and put it down for a while and then come back to it. A lot of people have a fear around this. They don't want to look at the past, which I think is interesting because we would constantly think about the past anyway. So as long as you're thinking about it, you might as well put it down on paper. Then in step 5, we would admit to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And we come to learn the exact nature by talking to somebody else and going through those lists that we've created so that we know or get a pretty firm idea of what our character defects or our shortcomings are. And once we've narrowed it down, then it's going to be time to ask God or get ready to ask God to remove those defects of character. And then in step 7, we actually do the asking. So the wording for step 6 is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And usually, I think once you finish that 5th step and you've been pretty thorough in going through all the actions and thoughts in your life up to that point that have really brought about a lot of harm, both to yourself and those around you, that now that you've got a clear picture of that, I think it's natural to want to have them removed. A lot of people think up until that point that we can find a way to remove them ourselves. And even people with many years of sobriety or clean time or, you know, separation from the addiction still try to I think, do this on their own. And the step says explicitly that we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So in the end, God's the one that will remove those defects. But again, we have to be able to detail what they are, and we have to become willing to have God remove them. And I think that that's the sticking point for some people, because we'll continue the same behaviors, doing the same things, And some of it can be not necessarily simple, but something as simple as the language that we use. And it, you know, you stop cursing or stop swearing by stop cursing. And a lot of times I've heard people say that, well, you know, if God really wanted me to stop, he would give me everything I need to stop, you know. So if I'm still doing it, you know, God must be allowing me to do it. And that's true. God will allow us to do anything and everything, whether we're in a 12-step program or not, whether we've completed the 12-step program or not. We've got to decide that at some point that we're going to not do those things and really make an effort. So it's more of a cooperation, I think, than it is, you know, being having a magic wand waved over us by God, and all of a sudden we're not going to participate in those behaviors that we used to participate in. And when I had gotten through my fifth step and looked at my life up until that point, what I basically boiled down to, and I think this is true for everybody, not just people that end up in a 12-step program, but for me, it just boiled down to selfishness. And the way to battle that is to get up every morning and ask God to show me the opportunities where I'm supposed to do things for other people, then do my best to actually do them, so to counter that selfishness. And again, it's not just addicts that struggle with selfishness. I think it's part of our concupiscence. It's what we are born with as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. And, you know, it's as simple as, you know, putting two toddlers who can't even speak yet, you put them on the floor with one toy, and they're going to fight over it. Or you even give them two toys and each one a different toy, and for whatever reason, you always want the toy that the other person has. And I don't think it changes a whole lot, even when we get into adulthood. The toys change, but our desire for them doesn't. And that, again, goes back to conversations I've had the past few months with Bill Wynn and talking about Rene Girard and mimetic theory, is where, you know, we're wired to want what other people have. You know, we can have everything that we need, and then we see something that somebody else has, and for whatever reason, we want it. And I think God may have created that in us as part of our makeup. I think even Adam and Eve had it, that they had the desire to copy or want what God had initially, and then I think it was with the hope that when they had children, that the children would want what the parents had. And somewhere along the line, like most things in creation, that got distorted. And we're going to talk about some of that in the 5 o'clock hour, in the light of today's gospel. But you know, we became, as a human race, we became disordered. And from the time we're youngsters until the time they throw that first shovel full of dirt on us when we die, we have to battle that. And some people are a lot better at it than others. And I think that's one of the gifts of folks that finally get into recovery and achieve, you know, not just time away from alcohol or drugs, but really achieve sobriety and build on that relationship with God. Is most of the people I know are the most unselfish, giving people that I've ever met, willing to do anything and everything to help somebody, even when the help isn't necessarily wanted, even when you know that you're not going to get thanked for it. How many times have we helped the same person multiple times, knowing that they're not going to thank us for it, that maybe they just expect it from us? And that's okay, because we shouldn't be doing it because of the thank you or the reward that we're going to get. Even we hear in the gospel, you know, if you get a thank you here on earth, it doesn't count, right? because you've already received your reward. But those things that we do for God, those things that we do for our fellow Catholics, our family members, our friends, the strangers that we do kind acts for, sometimes you don't want to be thanked because you've already received your reward. We want to save those things up to get our reward when we finally meet Jesus face to face. So, again, we've gone through the steps up till now, and we've seen the horrendous things that we've done in life. We've tried to boil them down to these defects that we have. Like I said, most of them boil down to selfishness. Some of them will be rooted in fear, especially when it comes to finances. We're always afraid we're never going to have enough money, and the things that we've done because thought of need for money, or the fear that we were going to lose money. Some of those was around sex, and it's amazing, you know, how much sex plays and can play a role in our actions. You know, that that we do things hoping that that's a result or a reward, if you will. We do things because we have that natural desire, and obviously we need it, otherwise we wouldn't procreate. But like anything in life, we have a natural desire, and then the disordered desire, where, you know, we think that more is better, when a lot of times the more just brings a whole lot of harm. So whatever it was that drove us to do the things that we did, that is the root cause. That's the defect, the shortcoming that we had, the sinful ways that showed up in our life. And that's a little bit different in 12-step parlance, because they'll refer to them as defects and shortcomings. And for us, we know that leads to a sinful lifestyle. We have an opportunity with the sacrament of confession to have those sins confessed and forgiven, and do penance. So a lot of times in the rooms, they don't want to hear that, talk about sins and what have you. But as Catholics, as Christians, it's just a natural way to discuss the things that we've done. But the difference here is that we're looking for the root cause. And I think I've mentioned this before, that when we prepare for and go to the sacrament of confession, that we don't always take the time to drill down to the root cause of why we did the things that we did. And it's really told to the newcomer early on in recovery that the alcohol or the drugs or the shopping or the overeating or whatever it is that we're addicted to is only a symptom of deeper problems. And so it's through this process that we're getting down to those root causes and figuring out why we had to turn to those things in order to survive. And once we know what they are, then we can do something about them. As long as we remain blind to it, and some of us willfully want to remain blind, because once we admit that we've got an issue or a problem, then we really don't have a choice but to do something about it. And so we've gotten to that list. In when we come back from the break, we'll talk about step 7 and how in a 12-step program we ask God to remove those shortcomings. But in the meantime, I'll give out the phone numbers again if you want to talk about step 6 and 7, any part of the 12-step program. If you've got an odd or God, maybe God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks, and you want to be a witness to our listeners, by all means, give us a call. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart. And when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Now, before we get back to Step 7, again, I'll give out the phone numbers one more time, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free, 888-343-2484. A quick rundown of the Calix groups that are here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Calix Society is a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, usually at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, across the street from the main entrance to St. Gabriel's Church. We begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calix meeting. A note that we're not going to have a Calix meeting next Tuesday, the 23rd, just because it's a couple days before Christmas. I guess it's the Christmas Eve. And I believe we will be back on January the 6th. Tuesday, January the 6th. Not sure yet about December the 30th. Just about every Tuesday at the Matt Talbot Chapel, corner of 29th and Dickinson. The third Tuesday of each month, we are over in St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour, followed by a Calix Mass. And the next one will be in January. That'll be January 20th, I believe. It'll be Tuesday, January the 20th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. They will meet on January the probably not January the 1st, the 15th. I'm sure they're going to skip New Year's Day, so January the 15th. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. We are meeting this coming Saturday, December the 20th. Again, that's 8:30 Mass, followed by a meeting. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. Father McKay is usually there and will be there when they meet Saturday, December the 27th. That'll be the Saturday after Christmas. So that gives you an idea of when the Calyx meetings are. And, again, nobody on the phone, so we're going to go ahead and talk about Step 7. And the official wording of Step 7 is that we humbly asked him, being God, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And I said in the first segment when we were talking about Step 6 is that we are asking God to remove them. And sometimes we have character defects, and some of them can be the addiction itself, and we're often don't realize it when it happens, but sometime after that God has removed the obsession for alcohol or drugs or gambling or shopping or whatever it is that has taken us away from him. But we're also going to ask him to remove all the other shortcomings that were the root cause that would have led us to turn to alcohol or drugs or some other form of addiction. And one of the things that, well, I guess, first of all, we've gotten to the point where we're ready to have them removed. And there's actually a prayer throughout the book Alcoholics Anonymous, which was written and published in 1939. It was probably starting to be written 1935, 36. And there's a number of prayers in there. I think we used the prayer when we talked about Step 3. But with Step 7, once we've got the list of shortcomings in front of us and we want God to remove them, we actually say this short prayer, and this is how it reads. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Again, my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. And this can be a very powerful prayer. I know a number of people that pray this prayer daily because some of the defects that we have can take a while for God to remove them. And I think there's two things there, namely that sometimes God wants to remove them, but we don't cooperate for whatever it is. We hang on to that sinful behavior. That can be, you know, watching things on TV that we shouldn't be watching. It could be using language that is inappropriate and offensive. Any number of things. But I've often heard people say that, you know, God didn't take it away because it can still be useful to me, and or it can bring about some kind of good. And I think that's logic that people use because they're not quite ready to give up that behavior and to think that God will want to leave you with a shortcoming or a defect I think is short-sighted. I think, you know, at some point God does want to remove those things, but it requires cooperation. And I bring that up because I know I'm not alone in saying that I've gone to confession and found myself confessing some of the same sins over and over again, whether it's gossiping or language or whatever it is. And I had gone to confession with my good friend, Father John Wackerman, probably a year and a half ago now, if not longer. And His exact words to me were, Ken, sometimes you got to slam the door on that sin. And I thought about it afterwards, and I've never been like an artsy person or somebody that's used images to pray with or to study. But for whatever reason, God put it on my heart that this was one of those things that can really be powerful via art. And so I had this image of my mind of a door being slammed, and on it were Jesus' hands that were being shown with the wounds, and those hands were bigger, and then there were my two little hands below it also trying to push on the door. But up in the corner, you could see the hands of the hand of Satan trying to keep it ajar. And so there's this creepy hand kind of coming through. And I had I talked about an artist friend of mine who had done another piece for me that we gave to Father McKay on the last breath. And I'd asked Rebecca Giles to if she could make a painting for me of that image. And she did. And it came out beautiful. It's like a 1 foot square piece of wood that she did it on. And then since then, I wrote a prayer that went along with it. And made prayer cards out of it. And I've been blessed to have a couple of priests that have asked for those prayer cards. They keep them in their confessionals to hand out to repeat offenders. And so it was one of those interesting things where, you know, God was able to use me to help other people with that idea. But I bring that up because, you know, we need to make an effort and cooperate with God when it comes to some of our sinful ways. And I'm just speaking from my own experience and in talking to enough people over the years, especially the last 10 or 15 years between Calyx and the ministry and people I've been blessed to encounter. I know I'm not alone in that. And so if you'd like to get a couple of those prayer cards, I'd ask you to shoot me an email. You can send it to Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's Ken at inhissign.com. Send me your name and mailing address, and I'd be more than happy to put a couple of those prayer cards in the mail to you. And really been, a blessing in my life. The other thing in this prayer, and we saw the same thing in the third step prayer, where we ask God we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God. In that one, we say that we're doing it so that we can witness to other people what God has done in our lives. And in here, we have a similar line. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. So when we ask God to remove these defects, it's not just so that we can have a better life. It's not so I can go sip pina coladas on a beach somewhere. It's explicitly because we want God to remove them so that we can be useful to both God and to other people. And I think that is really the key to this. We're not asking for it just for ourselves. It's because, you know, God created each of us to help other people. And we all have unique talents. We all have unique gifts that we may be the only one that has them, or we may be the only one in a particular area or a particular group or a particular parish, whatever it is that we may belong to. You know, there are certain gifts that God gives us that he may not give to other people. And so our goal in life should be to determine what they are and then share them with other people. And the addict is probably the most severe in terms of having those gifts and then keeping them to themselves. And I've said many times in the past that, you know, I think one of the greatest sins that we commit are not the actual commission of some act. It's the omission of something, something that we were supposed to do for somebody else, something we were supposed to do for ourselves that God wanted us to do, maybe expected us to do, and for whatever reason, we don't do it. And I think that that really is true in this case, because we've been given these gifts and we're supposed to share them with others, and to not share them, sooner or later you come to realize that that it's a sin. We do have a caller on the line, so we're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank. How you doing, brother?
Hello, Ken. Guess what happened today, Ken?
You didn't tune into the show. You got a call from Captain Lou, and then you called in. Am I close?
Close. He told me, don't ever listen to you again.
He did he?
I think someone paid him $10,000 to say that.
Or he's using reverse psychology, one or the other.
Excuse me, sorry.
That's all right. How you been?
Good, good. This morning, it dawned on me, like, today's the 17th. I figured next week and the following week he'd be off, but it was also thought it's a five Wednesday month. I thought Ed McMahon would be in today, Father Doug.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, but I got to look and see, and I'll confirm when the next fifth Wednesday is actually going to be, and he'll be back.
Father Doug, where are you at? Again, I think I told you, my mom last Wednesday had surgery at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital to remove a tumor in her large intestines. It went great. You came home Saturday, but just real tired, and they told her a lot of diarrhea as expected, but not as bad, so she's kind of uncomfortable at times. Just keep her in your prayers. Her name's Kathy with a K.
Will do.
And I just want to say, Merry Christmas, Ken, Father Doug, to you and your family, Boston Bob, Maureen and her family, everyone at the studio, the ones I remember, Patrick and Frank, all the DiCarlo family, I know Mary, Erica, and Dr. Zach, Kathleen McCarthy and her big family, of course. Everyone listening. Oh, Erica yesterday called in the show. Something with their eyes, I'm not sure. Erica, I prayed for you yesterday. I'm still praying for you. And you got a great station here, Ken. I listen to your program. I love your show.
I appreciate it, pal.
I was listening to you from the beginning. It's funny, a different station. I won't say what station. They're talking about recovery today, too.
Okay.
In the beginning, I'm talking back in the 90s. We weren't around then, but Captain Lee tried to get me sober back then. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
And years later, I started with your show, you know, just listening to things and stuff. It was off and on, but eventually it kicked in, you know. And just, I kept building. I never forgot things. Ken, did you ever hear, once someone introduces you to AA, even if you think you don't got a problem, the seed is planted, you know you got a problem, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, once you know it, you can't unknow it, right?
You can say, yeah, I'm fine. But back in mind, you're saying, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
Because once I went to rehab the first time, I never drank again with that guilt in my mind.
Right. Now, and I know, you know, some people that have gone back at it, and I don't know how you could do it. I mean, I would think at some point it would drive you insane, but thank God for the gift, and I know you struggled for a while there, but what a blessing it is now to, you know, draw a sober breath all the time, huh?
I heard someone earlier at different stations saying she relapsed after, I forget, 18 years or something.
Yep.
And someone, just for one day, and someone told you, everyone does it. I mean, no, everyone doesn't got to do it.
Nope.
And I was thinking, in my mind, what worked for me, it wasn't, you're reading the big book. All those things kind of helped. What worked for me was listening to Catholic stuff and praying every day, going to Mass every day when I could, when I did go to Mass. You know, to me, it was the spiritual component was stronger than anything else. Just, God in my life.
Well, that's the goal of the 12-step program. I mean, the steps we're talking about today are all, you know, in step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove the defects of character. In 7, we humbly ask him to remove them. I mean, God is all over it. And, you know, in their wisdom from the outset, they didn't tie it to a particular religion. But, you know, people that are in 12-step programs, the expectation, at least back in 1935 and 39 when the book came out, was that once you put down the drink or the drug or whatever it was you were addicted to, you were going back to church because that's what everybody did in the 1930s. Unfortunately, here we are in 2025 where, you know, there's a whole lot of people that aren't going to church on Sunday anymore. So it's not the natural thing to do. But you found it.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, I was going to say, but you found the key. And that's what, some other people have found that certainly in coming back to the faith, I think there's a lot of people that are shortchanging themselves by only doing a 12-step program. But if that keeps them sober or clean and keeps them out of jail and on the right path, by all means, keep doing it. But if you want to experience the joy that God, wants to give you, you have to have a relationship with Him.
Ken, I'm not familiar with the history of the 12 steps. Okay, what was his name now? The guy who started the, what's his name, Bob something?
Dr. Bob and Bill W.
Oh, Bill W, doesn't it? Yeah. Bill W, those two, yeah. 1935, I forget my history, too. Was that during Prohibition? Is that why it got started, or no?
No, it was divinely inspired, a chance meeting in Ohio when these two guys got together, but Bill W. had learned a little bit about how to stay sober, and he was doing it with the Oxford group, which was a Protestant movement at the time. And then he happened to meet Dr. Bob, who was also part of an Oxford group in Akron, Ohio, and they got together and realized that they were onto something. But when they wrote the book, they certainly could have said, oh, you got to be a member of the Oxford group in order to work this program, but God saw fit to kind of take out a particular religion or faith so that it would be open to everybody. Unfortunately, it meant that over the last 90 years, we've slowly driven Jesus out of the rooms. But for those of us that, especially those of us that were brought up in a faith, it's it was a great thing to have in our back pocket when we learned that it was God that had to save us from what we were involved in.
Hey, Ken.
Yo.
Let me say one thing before I go.
Okay.
I admit it. I admit I was and am powered with alcohol, and my life was and is unmanageable.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, when you finally figure it out, I think it's when they throw the first shovel full of dirt on us.
Hey, Ken. I lied. Now I'm saying two things, not one. Looking back, the things I was doing because of boozing and neglecting or just skipping altogether, like, why was that? How come I didn't see it? It's so obvious, but I blew things off. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm asking you a serious question. It was so obvious looking back, but it was happening. I didn't realize it. How could I be so stupid?
It's not that you were stupid. It's we don't want to look at it because once you looked at it, you had to change. And so we may have seen glimpses of it, but it's like, it's not that bad, or it won't be as bad the next time. I'm not, it's just not that bad. And we think that we can overcome it without stopping the alcohol or the drugs or what have you. And sooner or later, we were both blessed, Frank, with that wake-up call that, we got to stop doing what we're doing if we're going to experience any joy in this life.
Hey, Ken, I forget. Was that one of my first AA meetings or one of my first time to rehab? I forget who it was. They didn't tell me. They were talking to the group. I said, if you think you got a problem drinking, guess what? You do.
Amen. And that goes for anything.
Maybe, no. If you think, you got it.
Yeah. If you got it, you're it,
But so, remember that team.
Yeah. Good stuff. No problem, Frank.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's.
And same to you and your mom, and I will certainly keep you and Kathy in my prayers.
Thank you.
You're
Have
welcome, brother.
You
too.
Bye-bye
now. Always good to hear from Frank. Sometimes we reminisce about the days when he would call in and not sounding all that well. And man, compared to then, and like our buddy Puppet says, you can only compare yourself to yourself. You compare Frank today to what Frank was a while back. It's truly a blessing, and it's a witness of what God can do with anybody. But we need to open our hearts and minds to Him and His ways. And as I was saying before Frank called, we need to cooperate in that grace. God just wants to shower us with all those graces. I think about the miraculous medal, which a lot of us wear. And when it was designed, when the Blessed Mother tells Catherine Laboure what she wants on the medal, there's a couple of fingers that don't have any rays coming from them, and the Blessed Mother said that they were the graces that weren't being asked for. So, I mean, it's a fact. If there's 8 or 9 billion people on this planet, what percentage of them do you think are asking for God's grace every day, whether it's asking God directly or through His Blessed Mother? I'd be willing to bet that in 2025, it's probably less than half. That means there's enough grace for 4 billion people out there that we can ask for all of it. You know, God, give me all those graces that aren't being asked for, every grace that I need to overcome every situation in my life. And Jesus Christ and His Blessed Mother said that we won't be denied. But there's some things, that, of course, that we have to do on our end. We have to be in a state of grace. And, of course, that means going to confession. As Catholics, that's, you know, one of the tenets of our faith, that we need to go at least once a year. And in the 5 o'clock hour, and talking about this last week leading up to Christmas Day, we'll be talking about a few things that are going on in our churches, whether it's daily mass, confession, or what have you. But all these things that we have in order to receive that grace that God wants to give us. And if you don't think you're on the receiving end of grace, if you're listening to this show, that means you woke up today. Chances are, at least here on the East Coast, it's going on 5 o'clock. You probably had at least one, maybe two meals, unless you're intentionally fasting. I would be willing to bet that if you've been outside at all today, or at least been out of bed, that you've got some clothes on. Chances are you had a roof over your head last night. So there's a lot of people that don't have that roof over their head, that don't have an address that they can claim to live at, that may not have the proper clothing and may not have had a meal yet today. So if you've had all those things, and chances are you had, then you, my friend, are blessed. And God has already given you some of the grace that you require. But there may be more that you need to ask for in order to do the things that God is going to ask you to do. And I think that's what I was talking about before, you know, Frank called those sins of omission, where, you know, God has given us gifts and we deny other people those gifts. We either keep them for themselves or don't even acknowledge that we have them. And in asking God to remove these shortcomings, we can also ask Him for the grace to show us the gifts that we have and to put the people in front of us that we need to share them with. And God will do it. The people that God has put in my life, sometimes for a minute, sometimes for a couple of days, a couple of months, and others for a lifetime, the reason they're there is for us to share God with them, whether it's through the specific gifts we have, the graces that we've received, or just by being witnesses to those other people, is what God's asking us to do. And when we do that, and we do our examination of conscience before we put our head on the pillow at night, those are the good days. It's when I look at the people that I cross paths with, and maybe I ignored them or didn't quite do what I was supposed to, is when the regrets come. Maybe you know, things that need to be taken to confession or what have you, and then resolving to do better the next day. But again, only with the grace of God. We can't do that. We can't do anything. We can't draw a breath or say a prayer without the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be reminded of that a lot in the coming week, I think, especially if you're preparing for Christmas. And the gift that we receive through our Redeemer being born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So just about wraps up this first hour today. I'll be back solo again in the next hour, and we're going to we'll kick it off with the gospel from Mass today. It may sound boring at first, but I've got a couple comments, and then we'll talk about some of the other things we can do to prepare for Christmas next Thursday. So hopefully you'll stick around, and we're just going to take a short break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.